home of the stars, through the airwaves and on the big screen. Live from Hollywood, it's Rated LGBT Radio with your hosts, Garrett Miller and Rob Watson.
And I'm Rob.
And most days, I'm Garrett. And so welcome back to Rated LGBT Radio. This is the second week in a row we're doing the show at an odd hour, but it's a fun hour at 10:30 live Pacific Standard Time. It's, you know, the Rob and Garrett show.
That's right. And I figure we're giving them twice the opportunity because they can listen live at 10:30. Plus, they can listen before our regular time at 7 p.m. And they could call in at, or listen in at 7 p.m. and hear the recording. And, you know, so I just figure we're giving people more.
More options. All you get with us on Rated LGBT Radio is more.
I know. We're the Andrea, what was her name?
How do you like it? How do you like it? More.
That.
See, you're good.
Andrea True Connection.
Really good. I like that.
Yeah. You don't want to have to know what I had to do to sing that high either.
You're right. I do not want to know.
Anyway.
You took me back. You took me back. You know, well, of course, we're dating ourselves. You know, there are people listening, I'm going, who? What? Huh?
What is going? Now, I think pretty much everybody who listens to the show is in our age bracket, so I don't think we're having anybody going, who? What?
We have to reach out. We have to get some of these youngins on here.
Well, I'm all for that. You know that.
Yeah. So we will. I'm talking to some actually young new talent on upcoming shows. I've got an upcoming poet. I've got an up and coming, probably shouldn't say it that way, young photographer who is incredibly talented, although I'm still figuring out how we're going to present an incredibly talented photographer over the radio. It's sort of a little bit of a...
No, that's easy. You know, we just talk about the craft, and then, you know, for the visuals itself, we can say, ooh, you, while we're talking to so-and-so, you need to be pressing the link to his website, and da-da-da-da-da.
That's true. Well, we'll figure that out. Well, yeah. We have an exciting guest 2 weeks from today on our show.
I better write that down.
Yes. Yeah, I sent it over to you. Julia Scotti, who was a finalist on America's Got Talent. And oh my God, she is so funny. Just hilarious. And can't wait to talk to her. But she completely wowed them. Do you remember Susan Boyle on?
I love Susan Boyle. I was one of those people that bought all of her albums when they were coming out. If you don't like the style of music, you bought it because she's just an incredible singer. And you're like, okay, this is the voice of an angel.
Right. Oh, yeah, totally. And well, plus, for those of us of a certain age, you know, she was just like super inspiring. I mean, she walks out, you know, and this is Britain Got Talent. And she's kind of, you know, on the, you know, not fashion model side, you know, older lady and, you know, looks like, you know, sort of like somebody you see in the supermarket or whatever. And, you know, they were all kind of, oh, what's she going to do? And she blows their socks off and is just amazing. Well, Julia is somewhat like that. She's got kind of a similar demeanor to Susan Boyle. And she came out and but she's a comedian. And, oh, my God, just so, so funny. And then she blew them out a couple of times, not just because she was funny, but also then revealing that she is transgender.
Wow.
And didn't realize that. And it was like, wow, wow. And she's just incredibly talented. And we have her. We will have her on our show. Yay.
That'll be awesome. I can't wait.
Yeah. So
somebody who doesn't have like TV, I have no clue who this is, but I'm excited to have her on.
Well, we will send you she's on YouTube, so we'll get you the YouTube video at a time. And maybe we could, is there a way we can play the audio of YouTube on our show? I probably should. This is probably
yes, there is. No, it's not an off-air question. Yeah, there's a program out there, and I don't think it's any big secret, so I'm not spilling any state secrets here. But and I do not support this, by the way, for people who are musicians or singer-songwriters. You always must purchase the music, okay? So I'm not telling you to steal anything, because that takes money out of my pocket, too, when people go and, you know, just do this. But for entertainment purposes for the show, we could play a clip, and there's a program that's out there that will convert the YouTube video to an MP3, so we can actually get some audio on that.
Oh, okay, cool. Because if we can figure that out, then we can play some of her her actual bit on the air, and so people can hear it here too. But very funny. So we're going to have her on. She will eventually get on out in Santa Cruz as well. You know, out in Santa Cruz has the disadvantage for her of being on Saturday night, and that's
she's
when she's actually like performing and earning money. So, you know, that's where our Thursday, we had a Thursday advantage.
I like that. It's, we have to work every advantage that we have. If we don't, we're fools.
We do. We do. We're, yeah, anyway, when we're not fools. We are no fools.
Speak for yourself.
No, you're not foolish. Yeah. you work it. You work it.
Oh, I may be working it. Shh.
No. Oh, I'm blonde. Oh, I don't know that.
See?
You're not really blonde.
Right?
And you do
just,
know
you
that.
You just hush. Hush,
okay.
Rob. Okay. Oh,
all right.
What's been going on in your week? How was your show on Saturday night? I'm sorry I missed it.
Let's see. Oh, Saturday night was very, very interesting. A very interesting gentleman, a historian, Nathan, who was an expert on Hitler and Nazi Germany. And we talked about political environment in America and the nationalism and the racism and all that, and how that parallels to what happened in the beginning of the Nazi Party in Germany. Found very quite a few disconnects, which was good, you know, so it's not like we're on this parallel path. So that was kind of refreshing. And then we talked about how Hitler had compromised a lot of things and used a lot of compromise and coercion in getting into power. Not necessarily a good thing, just that's the way it was, but that he had someone in his inner circle was well known for being homosexual, and Hitler just kind of took a blind eye to that until it was no longer convenient for him to take a blind eye, and then he had the guy murdered. So we told
like
that
he did whatever 6 million other people.
No, yeah, true, but you know, this was just a little bit more. Well, it was what it was, but
it was. I'm fascinated by this because in all the years of, you know, historical pieces, movies and all of that, we've never once heard about this. So how is it possible that in 2016, so I'm not being a skeptic. I'm asking because I'm excited to hear about this. So from,
no,
you know, from the six degrees of separation from Kevin Bacon. So how is this possible that he had somebody who was gay in his inner circle and that, you know, we never really ever heard about this person?
Well, I don't know why we didn't hear about it. It is documented and factual, and you can look it up. It's Ernst Röhm, R-O-H-M is the man's name. He wasn't particularly admirable. I mean, he was he was out shooting people up for Hitler. I mean, he was, you know, a violent, not nice person. It wasn't like, you know, somebody that the LGBTQ community is going to hold up as a hero. But, you know, he was very pro-Hitler and very kind of, pardon the expression, cocky. And I'm coming out with all these double entendres today. I have no idea why, but they're just...
Somebody needs
out
to get laid.
Yeah. What? What did you say?
You heard me.
I'm afraid I did. Oh, my God. Anyway, that threw me off. Anyway, Ernst Röhm was very well known for being gay. Plus, Germany, before Hitler came in, you know, if you watch the movie Cabaret, I mean, you know, in Berlin, you know, it wasn't you know, there was not the gay oppression. I mean, there were a lot of very out gay people in Germany, you know, and felt they had the freedom to be so. And then Hitler came in and, you know, Rahm was, you know, buddy buddies and in the background and doing his thing until he got too big for his britches and became a political liability. And then Hitler got all anti-gay, quote unquote, moral on him and sent the people to kill him. In fact, he sent the people to kill him, and they handed Rahm a gun and said, you know, basically, Hitler wants you dead. Do you want to take the honorable way out and kill yourself? And Rahm's answer back was to hand the gun back to them and say, let Hitler do his own dirty work. And then they killed him. So,
wow.
There's the inside scoop. But, you know,
so
the gay oppression in Germany was very widespread. There were many gay men rounded up, taken concentration camps and killed. And part of the reason we don't hear as much about that, and we do because it's where the Pink Triangle came in and other things. It's not unknown, but it wasn't as publicized as the Jewish oppression. First of all, many more Jews were killed than gay people, just from sheer numbers and families and all that. But also the historians who came in right after the war to document everything that happened also had homophobic anti-gay biases. So, you know, they weren't as worried about the gay men who had lost their lives. And so gave it like a little bit of a mention, but it was like, you know, in their mind, it was sort of like, you know, oh yeah, well, plus he killed a bunch of horse thieves, you know, in that kind of tone about it. So
still a second class. It's funny. Everybody's talking about the second class citizen, and then, you know, they put the LGBTs at, you know, below second class.
Right. Exactly. So we, you know, our stuff got a little bit lost in the process. But so that was the augment to kind of a very weird two-prong conversation about the Nazism under discussion today and some more information about what happened to LGBTQ people within its purview in Germany. So that was that.
So what's coming up this week then?
Boy, it's funny that you should ask, because I was just about to tell you anyway. We are so in sync here. So this week, I've got a two-pronged show. I've got some guests in the very beginning that were kind of late add-ins, but I'm very excited to have them on. They are the Queer Queens of Comedy, who are coming to Santa Cruz, and they're doing a show next week, and we're giving a little bit of a preview of their hilarity at the beginning of Out in Santa Cruz this Saturday. So we're excited to talk to them. And then the featured guest on the show is Dr. Kathleen Trainer. And Kathleen is, Dr. Trainer, is going to be talking about, quote unquote, calming the anxious child. So she's going to be talking about childhood anxiety and specifically in children who are themselves LGBT and or children who are children of people who are LGBT, of which, of course, my kids are. And so that will hit very close to home. So it should be a very good show.
I've got a question, and I'm going to ask because, you know, if I asked before the show on Saturday night, that would be, you know, really inappropriate. So are the people that are going to be on for the comedy part, are they actually funny or just, you know, have you heard any of their material? Because sometimes, you know, if they put you put a label on stuff, it's because that's the only drawing factor for that particular whatever. And I'm not saying they are or aren't, but, you know, I've seen, you know, things before where they say, oh, come see this. And you're like, oh, my God, this is absolutely horrible. How did they get me to come in to see this? Or do we actually have funny people that are going to show up?
Well, good question. I don't really know. I'm going on faith. They look funny. not funny like
they're not
like,
funny looking, but you know,
not funny looking. They're actually very attractive, but they look like they have a definitely comedic edge to them. Now, I have to tell you one thing that makes rated LGBT radio much more conducive for the funny people on Earth is we are unrestricted here, and you can say bad words and
anything,
you know,
at
dirty.
All, like gosh golly and gosh darn it.
Yeah, well plus, see, I'm so trained, I can't even, at the spur of the moment, I can't even get them out. It's like, you know, you can say the F word on our
fun.
Show. Fun. Fun. Fun, frolic, and fucking. Yeah. Ooh, there it went. Okay. You can say that on our show. You can't say that on Out in Santa Cruz. You know, we are very restricted and very G-rated, which is a little restrictive for people who have kind of shocking humor. So they can only shock to a G-rated level. So they're under that restriction. But we will see. I'm fully confident that the reason they're coming to Santa Cruz and they've got a show venue and everything else is they are hilariously funny.
I hope so.
Me too. For their
sake. Then they can go on to, you know, other cities and not perform and make some money. I love it when people make money at what they love to do.
Well, let me put it this way. Since part of their doing my show on Saturday is to promote their show that they're doing a few days later, if they are not funny for me, oh, they are in such trouble.
Word to the wise.
Word to the wise. Be funny with us.
Yeah.
Or
yeah,
musical.
Yeah.
I mean, unless you're not a funny person. And, you know,
yeah.
Like it would have been very inappropriate for Nathan last Saturday to be funny.
Yeah, it would have been, because then it would have been springtime for Hitler, and we would have been, you know, having a different musical.
Exactly. My thoughts, exactly. So, your friend and my Facebook friend, although I've never really interacted with him, Fred Kreger had an article on Huffington Post, I think today or yesterday, that was kind of interesting. I don't know if you caught that.
I have not. I've been so busy this last week. It's been insane. So what is Fred Karger's article saying?
He is going after the Mormon Church and basically
again.
Slapping it around. Yeah. It more of,
for good,
it was
cause.
Actually very interesting. He laid out some real eye openers in case people weren't aware, but basically knocking them around, telling them to get their act together and be more inclusive. But he was talking about the thing that they came out with earlier, which I actually wrote an article about their condemnation of LGBT families and kicking the kids who have gay parents out of the church. And when they are 18, they can join the church, but they have to renounce their parents and just really, really nasty, nasty stuff, of which Fred then laid out all the hundreds of thousands of people who have left the church over this policy, and plus the shocking number of teen suicides that have increased in Utah presumably as a result. But he also points out that Utah is 8 times the national statistics of teen suicides, and he attributes a lot of that to this policy. So, he rightly admonishes the church on their barbaric and awful and unchristian and terrible behavior.
Well, I'm a big fan of Fred Karger. I had the opportunity to have him on the show a couple of years ago. And then, as luck would have it, he splits his time, and I'm not telling any secrets here, but he splits his time between Los Angeles and down on Laguna Beach, where he's been very active in the community for years and years. And he invited me down for lunch one day and had a very enjoyable conversation. And I will tell you, from just a pure professional, joy-filled experience, I will tell you, he is one awesome stand-up guy. And I'm really impressed with all things that he does, because he does everything from a point of integrity. And it's not that other people don't, but he's so clear in what he's doing is for the betterment of society as a whole, not just for the LGBT community, even though that's really who he's, trying to assist and help and raise up. he just does so many wonderful things for everybody. And the fact that he's raising the spotlight on this, I think, is very important because, you know, especially in the Mormon community, you know, I know a ton of Mormons who are LGBT. And, you know, I have a friend on Facebook who, you know, like on Facebook, everybody's friends for, you know, and you don't really know each other. And then I'm going to tell a little bit of a story. I'm not going to use any names in case he's listening, but probably about 2 or 3 months ago, he'd posted something about a job or something like that. And I contacted him and I said, well, what's going on? So we got to talking and it turns out he's had a very successful career in a particular industry. And you know, it's in the medical industry and has been married and has kids and the whole thing. And a couple of years ago, and I'm going to guess he's probably around my age, give or take. So, you know, late 20s, that's a joke. He's probably like late 40s. So I helped him with his resume. You know, he had like this 3-page resume and I said, okay, you know, you've done all this great stuff, but the fact is that, you know, unless you're president of the United States or president of a bank, you don't need a 3-page resume. You need it down to one. Cause even Melissa Mayer with Yahoo, she's got a 1-page resume, which is spectacular. If you've not seen it, you need to go check it out. And if you don't know how to find it, let me know. Cause it's saved to my desktop. It's really dynamic. And I think that's the standard that everybody should have for doing something like this. So he got his resume down. And he shared a little bit of a story with me. And he says, you know, for years and years and years, I never wanted to come out because I kept being taught and told I'm supposed to be this way. I'm supposed to be this way. I'm supposed to be this. So I always thought, well, maybe I can change and maybe I can change. And so, you know, here I am with, you know, kids, you know, teenage kids. And I was like, I can't change. I'm not heterosexual. I'm really am gay. And it was, you know, big, hard decision when your entire community is so, you know, anti-LGBT. And despite the quote-unquote progress that Utah's made in the last couple of years for, you know, different social rights, you know, I think a lot of it is a lot of talk. And, you know, officially, it's not really that inclusive. And so you have all these people that, at least in my, you know, and again, I see all these, you know, kids running around on their bikes and the white shirts and the black ties and the black pants. And I'm like, well, you got two there. One out of the two is gay. You know, and I don't have any statistics on that, people. So I don't want to hear any letters or phone calls on that. But I think there's a disproportionate amount of that community that is LGBT. And, you know, to have fear kind of dictate how things are going to be when, you know, they promote such a, oh, you know, we love everybody and we, you know, love, you know, this person and that person, but we don't love the sin or, you know, whatever they want to call. However, they're not going to approve of the lifestyle.
Right.
I think it's just kind of silly, you know, and then, you know, in my situation, my partner, you know, he came from a Mormon at the time. We're not together any longer. So I'm single and ready to mingle. I am not ready to mingle, but I am single. But we're together for 12 years.
No, go ahead.
And, you know, he came from a Mormon family and his younger brother was also gay. And, you know, his family was, you know, very supportive and very, very loving and very, you know, because it was just like part of who they were. It wasn't like, oh my gosh, this is the defining be all and end all. And, you know, I'm still friends with his family, you know, and I send them notes on Facebook and we chat back and forth every once in a while. So, you know, it's not all Mormons are like that, but I would like to see a more accepting, you know, tone, taken because it's silly that you have, you know, you have any group that, you know, and I'm picking on the Mormons and I'm sorry, we can pick on the Catholics. We can pick on the Lutherans. We can pick on anybody, you know, cause that's what we do here on Rated LGBT Radio. We pick on people. No, but you know, you can take any group and, you know, and they're like, oh, you know, we just love everybody, but we, you know, we're going to choose who we love and we're going to choose the scriptures that we, you know, pick from and we're going to choose. It's like, oh, I just struggle with that because I'm not the pot calling the kettle black, but here I am, the pot calling the kettle black.
Well, no, but you are blonde Jesus, which is pretty cool. So
I am blonde Jesus. Yes, there we go.
But no, but I mean, and your point's super, super valid. But plus, the thing about the Mormon Church and one of the reasons why they do get a lot of this is because they have dove in in the way that some other churches haven't to try to harm gay people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the Catholic Church has certainly jumped in as well. Other denominations have just been verbal on the outside, but haven't actually been like active fundraisers against us. But the Mormons specifically on Prop 8, which eventually blew up in their face, were actively, I mean, they funded the Proposition 8 campaign virtually. But one of the quotes from Fred's article, which kind of goes back to what you were talking about the leaders of the church and, you know, what they look like in the way they're presenting all this. And I'm going to read from this. Mormon apostle Dalen H. Oaks made matters worse when he said of the dozens of Mormon teen suicides, quote, "I'm aware that those tragic things happen. Those things have to be judged by a higher authority than exists on this earth," unquote. So he basically threw the bird towards all these families whose children were dead. And mm-hmm. I mean, that's not just benign. That's evil. I mean, that is just evil. And to have the head of a church be that way and talk that way is just awful. I mean, it's, and that's why, I mean, the hundreds of thousands of people who have left the church haven't just done so because they're all gay. They've done so because the church has left them. They are to your point, the quote unquote love talk is seen as completely and totally hollow. So,
can I ask you a question here? And again, this is a leading question, Rob. So do you think, thou doth protest too mucheth, and this is why they are, they have all of these, policies or proclamations, do you think maybe, sometime in their past, maybe they have, had an experience that they just liked a little too much and then felt, through just historical shame, they needed to be really anti because they had such a, maybe a crush, a love, an escapade or something like that. Like so many of the political leaders who are so anti-gay are like, "Oh my gosh, all the gays burn in hell, but I'm on Grindr, and my wife doesn't know." And, you get into those type of situations,
Potentially, although I think it goes maybe to a broader level that the answer is still yes, but not necessarily that they're all like, I mean, because you look at this group, and not to be ageist, because as you and I know, we don't want ageism. we're very self-interested in not having ageism be a thing. But I mean, these guys are old. I mean, you look at them,
they're like 300-year-old people.
Yeah, this whole panel of very old white men, and but the thing about the Mormon Church and
what it's supposed to be, Rob, a very old black man. They didn't let blacks in the Latter Day Saints until like the 80s.
Right. Well, and none of them have risen up to the, and certainly no women. And, so it's a bunch of lily white old men.
Ugh.
And, but the whole thing with the Mormon Church and the family and all this is, it's all kind of like very, on one hand, attempting to be, quote unquote, chaste and pure, and on the other hand, being rampantly sexual. I mean, the Mormon philosophy historically was
one
guy and as many women as he wanted, and he just married them, and and then he could do whatever.
Well, that was just that one sect, and only when it became politically unpopular did they decide that they needed to, dial that back in.
Well, philosophically, I don't think I think the church itself is, I've just talked to so many people about the theories of the afterlife and how families work and how
the clouds and the planets and all of that.
It's like multiple husbands and wives in one, spiritual place. I mean, it's very fanciful and imaginative, let's put it that way.
could be
so
a Disney movie.
I think they're defensive on that level because you know, I actually had a very, very interesting conversation with a guy years ago before the internet, or well, not before the internet, but before Facebook and a lot of
you
the social
media. You
talked
to people before the internet?
No, never. We did not communicate before the internet. Of course not. But on the internet, there was a site called BeliefNet. And I was on there. It sort of got me started on my whole blogging thing and writing and LGBT advocacy and all that. But I was on there posting regularly and arguing for pro-gay rights and all that stuff. And on there, you engage with people of all these faiths, and you get faiths, and you get into a debate. Well, I got in this debate with this guy who was Mormon, and you know, and the debates were very, very interesting. And you know, I wasn't name calling. It was we were actually talking concepts and things like that. But I was talking to him, and I laid out my whole thing on why being gay wasn't a sin and why it wasn't bad. And he came back with this answer that just floored me. And he said, you know, Rob, everything you said makes absolute sense, 100% total sense. I cannot believe you for one reason. And it's like, what is that? He goes, if I believed you that being gay was okay, I would have a crisis of faith. And it was like, huh? What does that mean? And he explained that the tenets of the church and what the church teaches are kind of some really out there concepts that you can only believe if you just have faith that what they tell you is true, because there is not a lot of logic to it and there's absolutely no proof. And, you know, so that if I put a chink in one part of that and make him question what he's been told on that level, it will unravel everything that he believed in because it was so out there. And so I think that for me, my opinion is a lot of why the Mormon faith is so dogged.
Well, that could be for anything. I saw a meme the other day about, you know, the fact that, you know, it was making fun of the fact that people, you know, I consider myself a Christian, so I'm just throwing myself under the bus here. So saying that, you know, people who read the Bible, you know, condemn homosexuality as wrong and a sin, but yet they'll believe a snake that talks, the fact that a man built an ark in 40 days or, you know, built an ark and put every living creature in this ark and survived 40 days and 40 nights. And then, you know, they give all these things. But homosexuality is wrong. You know, okay, yeah, that makes sense. You know, same thing.
Yeah, no, well, very similar, although this is like really, I mean, there's a whole thing about when you die, you have this mansion you go to and your wife's there.
Of course,
nobody's
going to go to a duplex.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, it's sort of like this spiritual heaven real estate plan
right.
that the Mormons seem to know is what's going to happen. And you kind of
it has to be,
it
yeah, because nobody's going to a condo in Boca. We're going to a mansion in the sky, and it's right. going to be like, you know, with travertine floors, and we're going to have maid service. You know, that's from the people who didn't, you know, who weren't quite as godly as we are, because, you know, we are judging you for, you know, how religious you want to be, and, you know, how good of a person you were, you know, based on my standards of what you should be.
Right. Well, it's, you know, it's just all very specific. Let's put it that way.
Yeah.
And you really do have to go, okay, I'm either going to just let go and say, you say it, I'll believe it, or
mm-hmm.
you're going to,
yeah.
your eyebrow will go through your forehead of skepticism.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So
fun stuff. Yeah.
Yeah.
I just, I don't know. You know, here's the deal. I want everybody to believe whatever they're going to believe. My only hope for humanity out there is that whatever you believe is filled with love and respect and, you know, kindness and generosity, and it removes hate from the equation, because that never moves the ball forward. So, you know, if you want to worship a bowl of spaghetti and you think that's going to be the be all and end all, fantastic. I think that's fantastic. But if you say, if you don't like spaghetti, you're going to hell, and I'm going to make sure you get there with a fast track with this, you know, gun to the head. I have a problem with that, you know? So,
right.
You know, if you worship however you want, believe whatever you want, but, you know, do it with a kind heart. I've never seen, I mean, honestly, and if you can show this to me, I would love to understand it, but I've never seen any religion, and I don't care what it is, I've never seen any religion preach hate. I've seen people in sects of religions say, okay, well, you don't believe like we do, so therefore you must die. But that's not taught in the religion. That's not taught in the religious teachings. That's, you know, crazy people saying we're gonna put our own spin on this, and because, you know, you don't think like we do, you're gonna suffer, sinner. You know, so that I got a problem with. But any religion that's out there, you know, if you read the basic fundamentals, it's, you know, love each other, treat each other well, be a good person, you know, that type of thing. That's
right.
You know, am I wrong?
Well, it depends on, I mean, when you say no religion teaches hate, it would, I think if you go to a lot of the core scriptures behind the religions, there are aspects of those scriptures that are very pure and based
right.
in love.
Yeah.
The where you get into the nuances of, certainly we have churches that are considered organized quote unquote religions in this country that preach pretty much unadulterated hate. And
yeah, but those,
like
the, but you know, those are the wing nuts that are out there. Those are the crazy folks. And you listen
well,
to them,
but,
you're like,
I mean, that's a,
come on.
It's, we're going into a semantic thing of, okay, so what are you calling a religion? Are you calling it the pure play scripture? Or are you calling it the organization or the people who purport to be the ministers and those people? Because, you know, throughout all that, there certainly is things that have been turned around.
Absolutely right. Absolutely right. You know, you get these, but and here's the other thing. And this takes us down that slippery slope. You know, religion's a business, you know, despite the fact they've got great tax advantages and things like that, you know, they're there, you know, they exist to put butts in the seats and to say, you know, if you don't give your 10% or whatever it is that you're going to give, you know, you're a bad person. And so you better give. But, you know, that puts, you know, that keeps the lights on. It puts food on their table. It lets them pay their mortgage, gets a new car, puts the kids in college, you know, keeps the lights on for the next week. And there we go. So you might have a lot
yeah.
of stuff donated, you might whatever. But, you know, if they don't get your butts in the seats and they don't get your money, you know, they don't exist. And so if they're going to, you know, create this drama, of, you know, blah, 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 blah. You know, some people would rather hear that message than, hey, you know, God loves you. You're in a good place. You know, go out and be well this next week. Most places probably do that, you know, but then you got the wingnuts that are out there going like, you're going to hell because you ate a cheese sandwich on a Tuesday. Oh my God. You know, and you get into that hysteria, but that's maybe where you're at. And that's what you want to believe.
Right.
Good for you. But right. I think that's where we struggle.
Well, here's something that's interesting because what you're talking about kind of dovetails into a lot of the growing political issue around what quote unquote religious freedom and where people's religions, where, I mean, it's what you were talking about before. It's like, you don't care what people believe, you know, as long as they have sort of a loving demeanor. And part of that too is, you know, that their demeanor is self regulated and not imposed on other people. And there's a lot of things that have been encroaching in America where people want, they're claiming they want quote unquote religious freedom. What they actually are asking for is religious domination.
Yeah.
Where their religious behavior gets imposed on either other people,
mm-hmm.
like,
mm-hmm.
you know, I'm religious, therefore I do not want gay people to have the freedom to marry or the dignity to
yeah.
operate
right.
in public in that way. That is gaining, going in some very odd directions where in Indiana, we now have a woman who is she was arrested and in prison for beating her child. And she is claiming that her ability to do that is under the guise of religious freedom because the Bible
nope.
her to yeah. beat her children that way.
Yeah. Well,
you know, which is, not untrue. It is in the Bible that way, but it is, you know, but so.
Okay. So with that, let me give you another one because I'm going to roll my eyes again. And that is horrible. But I remember a few years ago before I moved to California, I was still in Arizona. And there was a lady, and see, this just got me. You know how everybody loves to be in the carpool lane when there's nobody in the car?
Right.
Except, you know, them, and, you know, and then they're going to justify it anyway. So
I'm
the
dying
lady
to see how the carpool lane goes to religious freedom. Dying. Go, go.
Oh, get ready. So this lady who just found out that she was pregnant said that she was with child, and therefore that counted as a an extra occupant in the car. And so she was fighting the ticket that she got for driving in the carpool lane because she was pregnant. How do you like that?
Oh, that's...
I'm not giving anybody ideas, but I was, and she lost, by the way. But
yeah,
yeah. I mean, you get into all these dumb things.
Yeah, that's actually kind of intriguing. But the one thing though in these whole discussions of religious freedom, because obviously to me anyway, you know, there need to be restrictions because you know, one person's religious freedom is tyranny against another person. The Supreme Court, ironically, going back full circle to our conversation, the Supreme Court has already addressed religious freedom about 100 years ago, literally, when the case before them was the Mormons and polygamy and religious freedom. And do they have the religious freedom to, you know, insist that polygamy is okay for them, or do they have to adhere to what, you know, the rest of the country has decided is the standard? And the thing, the slippery slope that the Supreme Court at that time went to, are you ready for this, was human sacrifice. That was the religious freedom issue that to them,
of course,
said there was a slippery slope that you had to be careful of, because somebody could have a religion where human sacrifice is part of the religion. And, you know, that obviously would be inconvenient.
You know, it's like, come on, people.
Well, but it's a good, philosophically, it's a good point.
Right.
I mean,
no, yeah.
You know, we're not talking about religious freedom now in terms of they want to kill people, but they do want to damage people's lives so that they can maintain their standards of what they think.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the things I was musing over, because I am probably going to write about this at some point here, was looking at how in many, many of the world's wars, religion is the basis of the war. I mean, religious philosophy is the reason that these countries have gone to war. So I was kind of thinking that out and thinking, well, are there any countries that have gone to war where that wasn't the case? Because it is so pervasive in the cases where it was. And I did come up with a country that had not gone to war over religious issues like that. And do you know what country that is? The United States.
Wow.
Our wars, our first war was because we were being taxed. We had no representation, and we were being, you know, we weren't being allowed our freedoms across the board, and we went to war for that. Then we fought for, you know, I forget what the War of 1812 was about, but it wasn't religion. Then the Civil War was over slavery and, you know, human dignity and, you know, the rights of states and all that stuff. We have not gone to war because we were a religion and we were either dominating or defending or anything like that. You know, in a sense, we've been pulled into wars over like 9/11, going to, you know, because we were attacked from a religious standpoint, but we were going to war because we were attacked, not because we were representing a specific religion. And so in a certain sense, a lot of this raise up in our own country about we're a Christian nation and, you know, theocracy standpoint is antithetical to American standards, because we really are a country that stands for not using religion in a way that is destructive that way. And so the people who want us to get more that way are really fighting against our true core values.
Okay.
So there you go.
There we go. There we go.
My little mind.
So we got 15 minutes left. What else are we going to talk about?
Well, we can talk about this very brave 12-year-old in Mexico who I don't have his name in front of me, but there's an iconic picture. It was on the new civil rights movement webpage put on there by my friend Brody Levesque, seasoned LGBTQ journalist. But this young man, there was a big, huge, huge anti-gay protest in Mexico by a faction that were, you know, one man, one woman, familia, blah, blah, blah. They were coming down the road in a huge throng led by three cars. And this picture is this 12-year-old boy standing out in the middle of the road, facing the cars, willing to be run over to stop them. And it is.
I saw that. That was amazing.
It's an amazing picture, amazing sentiment. And he told the journalist that he has a gay uncle and he hated the hatred. And that is why he did it. That is why he stood out and they captured it on this, in this picture. And it is just, you know, really a picture that should go down in history. I mean, it's just, you know, it says it right there. And inspiring.
Great young man.
Yeah, totally. So it's pretty wild.
Cool.
So what is happening in the Blonde Jesus music world? You, when last we spoke, you were number one for Unlike You.
Some things never change.
There you
I'm
go.
Still number one. That's number one for the 12th week in a row, Unlike You by Garrett Miller. Yeah.
Okay, so go for to your fandom. Yeah. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, go to GarrettMiller.com, and under the music tab, you can get a preview of the song and listen to it. You can also listen to it on SoundCloud, on Spotify, all the good places like that. But I would love it if you'd buy it, because it's all the money that I'm making from music right now, I'm putting into my next music project, which is called Disco Resurrection, because I'm bringing disco back from the dead, baby.
Yay. Some of us haven't really let it die, but we're very, very glad to hear that.
What's new? You know,
I'm
new
totally willing
disco
for you to be my next disco diva, by the way.
Yay.
I'll
do it. Right on. There we go.
So one other thing, though, why I would encourage people to go purchase their copy of Blonde Jesus in case they haven't got it, is there is a song on that album that is going to be very timely coming up in the next month. And you will want that song along with the rest of the album. And that's the Sisters, the Witch Sisters.
Witch Sisters Halloween.
That's right. Oh, my God.
The song that started
a great Halloween
off of
song. And it needs, you know, it's about to come into its own again.
So if you are a music reviewer, if you're in Billboard magazine, if you are a movie producer or director or high-powered A-list actor, because we have some of those that listen to the show, and we'd like to include Witch Sisters Halloween in product placement or as a theme song or anything else in your projects, it is available for you to use, and I would love for you to have it. But Witch Sisters Halloween, super, super fun. You know, so the origin on that one, Rob, real quick, is that I wanted to do a song because I love the movie Hocus Pocus. I loved Monster Mash. I love all these old Halloween classics, and we've played them on the show before because I've done your Halloween show. You've done mine, and it's been super, super fun. We'll be doing one again this year. And when I went, because my commitment to myself is each music project that I do will have a Halloween or have a Halloween. It will have a holiday song of some kind. So my first EP, Eyes Wide, had guests. It's Christmas time, so we'll be, you know, pushing that in November and December. And so when I sat down to do this album, I went out to social media and I said to everybody, what kind of song do you want? I've already done Christmas, so we're not doing Christmas part two, even though that would be fun. I said, I need another holiday. What do you guys want to hear? Because whatever holiday you pick, that's what we're going to do. So I put it on as a poll on my Facebook fan page at the time. And everybody overwhelmingly came back and says, I want to hear something with Halloween. So I said, that would be fun. What do I want to do? So I loved Hocus Pocus. I loved Monster Mash, just like I'd said. So I wanted to write a song that if I said, what would have happened to those witches from Hocus Pocus? Because at the end of Hocus Pocus, you see them flying off into the, you know, the you know, the, well, I guess
killed.
The sun. They get zapped off, but you know, they go off, they leave.
Right. Right.
What
true.
Would have happened if they were transported into like Santa Monica circa 2016? And, you know, so here I am walking along the beach on Halloween, because, you know, as one does, and there's a full moon out, and I stumble across these, you know, three old, you know, bitter old, you know, haggard looking ladies. And it turns out to be like the Witch Sisters. And so we have Glamour, Hag, and Jinx. And so they basically tell me why they're bitter old hags, and they've been used and washed up in the circles of Hollywood. But they, you know, they had different things that happened to them during their events. And then at the end of the thing, ooh, you know, the sun's coming up. We got to go. We'll see you next year. And it was just a super, super fun song to do. Now, I will tell you that when I got ready to do the chorus, you know, I originally did the chorus, you know, but it didn't have quite the same having me go, the Witch Sisters, the Kitch Sisters, Glamour, you know, it was fine, but it needed something else. And
witch.
So I had,
I mean, you are not a witch.
I needed like that witchy poo type of, you know, thing.
Right.
So I brought in Kelly Fitzgerald, who's an award-winning singer-songwriter herself. And then I brought in Laura Speth, who I know, and she used to be years ago a background singer for the group Heart, Anna Nancy Wilson, when she was just but a teen. And so I brought them in to play the witches. And so they kind of ad-libbed a little bit. They sang the chorus and did an amazing job. And quite frankly, the song, Brian Pothier, who's my music producer, big props to him for all things, because without him, none of this would be possible. Sounds like I'm accepting an award. But without Brian coming up with the music and all of this, you know, my story just wouldn't have taken on the life that it took on. And but when they came in to do the chorus, it was like, oh, this is what makes the song special. So, you know, you have me doing my thing, which is all great. But what's truly special about the song is Kelly and Laura doing the witches of the Witch Sisters, and then kind of like the banter at the end of the song, which I just think is classic.
They are fantastic, but it's the combination that is really the best, because your voice is so deep and rich and masculine and hunky and, you know, sexy and all that. And then theirs is so perfectly witchy. They are the perfect witches. Mm-hmm. And the, you know, the combination of the two is like, you know, just like, you know, blonde hunk meets the witches. And it's like, it's a great song. It's just fun.
If I had, you know, a few million dollars, I would love to turn this into a motion picture, because I really do think that this could be a fun, you know, kind of like a 9 to 5 meets Hocus Pocus meets, you know, Current Events. And so you have these, you know, the tale of, you know, these three, you know, old witches. And they're going to, you know, kind of give you the backstory of how they got to, you know, where they're at today. And I would love to see that turned into a cartoon, a movie.
I think it should be a TV series, like a Netflix series, you know, like, you know, so sort of like a cross between The Munsters and Bewitched. You know,
I like
where,
that.
Like, you know, it's like, you know, you and your three witch.
I'd play like Darren, you know, and then you'd have Samantha and then Dora and Uncle. You know, Uncle Everybody, and then, you know, so it'd be, you know, I'd play the normal character, and then they would be the crazy, chaotic, you know, stuff that's going on.
I think there's a formula there. You know, we could.
Okay. So if you're out there in Hollywood and looking for a new project, I own all licensing for my music, so you can just, you know, contact me, and we'll work out some kind of magical deal as a star view for me on ABC for, you know, like 10 years.
So I've got a question for you. So on your new disco project, and because you've already let out the secret that you always, always like to include a holiday song on your project, what holiday is going to tie into the disco project?
I'm going to go back, and because here's the deal. I need to get some money rounded up first to start the music production and that type of thing. And then once I get into that mode of having, you know, the bankroll there, then I'm going to write the songs. But before I do that for the holiday song, I'm going to go back to social media again, and I'm going to ask the fans. I'm going to say, what do you guys want to hear? You know, is it a New Year's Eve disco? Is it a 4th of July disco? Is it a Thanksgiving disco? Is it a, you know, is it a, you know, Cinco de Mayo disco? I don't know. Because anything that they come up with or whatever's most popular, I'm totally on board with, because I will find a fun story to tell having to do with that particular holiday. And that's what we're going to do. So it's going to be up to the fans.
Well,
it's a fan vote again.
Yeah, well, since I've got the advantage of being like your good friend and co-host and all that, I'm going to put my vote in early and go with the first one, that we need a hot, wonderful New Year's Eve anthem. It's
great.
You know, because the think about it, with the ones that are out there are, you know, you could stretch Prince sort of to New Year's Eve, but it's a stretch. And the other one is ABBA. I mean, that's like the last great New Year's song.
Okay, and forgive me, what is the ABBA song?
Happy New Year.
Oh, I don't even know that one.
Well, I'll have to send it to you because I don't sing. I would hum it, but you would go, huh? So I will find it, and I will. You will have it on Facebook, so you can see it. But
I'm down with that. Yeah, I would love to do a New Year's Eve song. You know, the thing is, I don't really care about being cliche. Oh, it's a New Year's Eve. I want the song to be one that tells a story. It always has to tell a story. So this is going to be a new thing for me, learning how to tell a story using disco as the backdrop here, because you know it's usually toot toot beep beep. And then you say the same word, you know, 7,000 times in the song. So it's telling a story in a different format, but having it be super, super fun.
Take the goddess that you were just alluding to, you know, like Donna Summer, like Sunset People is, you know, that tells a story. It's, you know, it gives you an environment, you know, it does, you know, it's not necessarily a full arced story, but, you know, it's there. So,
it is,
you know.
But and here's the other thing that I'm doing with the disco project. And so I don't care that I'm telling all my secrets, because if somebody else wants to go out there and take advantage, the more the merrier. That's my whole concept here. What I'm doing is actually taking the elements of today's popular songs that all the cool kids love, that end up being, you know, like earworms for us, but then taking the elements of the disco that, you know, older generations like us like. And I'm blending them together. So, you know, it's morphing a bunch of stuff that I think is really going to be innovative, and from a sound perspective that I just hope people will resonate with. So that's what we're going to do. Right. So, cool. We got 3 minutes left, Rob. Let me do a real quick shout out for tomorrow morning's it's Rated G Radio tomorrow. The Friday dance party, and this is if the artist gets their music into me, because if it doesn't come in by 5 o'clock tonight, I bump them. So there you go. And they know this, so it's not a secret. Melinda Hale, who I met at Live the Dream Tour, she has the voice of an angel. I am so excited to have her on in hour number one, starting at 8 a.m. She's got like 5 albums out. And every time she has something out, her voice just continues to get smoother and sexier and beautiful. And she needs to be, you know, like at the top of Billboard charts like every week, because that's how fantastic she is. So Melinda Hale will be our guest in hour one. Hour number two, I've got Robert Miller, who's no relation to me, but he is the front man for this band called Project Grand Slam. And I think I've had Robert on before, but it's been like 100 years. So we are going to have Project Grand Slam in hour number two. We're doing a world premiere of their brand new single called Queen's Carnival. That's going to be tomorrow. And also, I think it's the premiere of their entire album too. So we're doing a world premiere tomorrow with Project Grand Slam starting in the 9 o'clock hour. And again, like the show goes, we talk to the artist for about 20 minutes. It's kind of like the old VH1 Behind the Music, when, you know, MTV and VH1 actually played music videos or talked to anything having to do with music. But we talked to the artist for about 15, 20 minutes about the process, why they did what they did, all the fun stuff that you want to know and you never hear about. And then we play their music nonstop back to back for the balance of the hour. So you get about 40 minutes of their music that you're not going to hear anywhere else. And we do it commercial free, uninterrupted, just for you. And that's starting tomorrow at 8 a.m. with Melinda Hale, hour one, Project Grand Slam, hour two. So that's that. And we also have a Super Gay Radio this Saturday morning at 8 a.m. with Paul Emery. We're going to be welcoming LGBT author Greg Heron to the show. And Greg's going to be talking about his new book, I should have it in front of me, but I should have written it down, but it's like The Onion Papers or something like that. Greg's going to be talking to us, and he writes books all the time. So that's what's going on in the next couple of days here. Rob, you got 30 seconds left. Promo away.
Promo away. Out in Santa Cruz, we got Dr. Kathleen Trainer, this and the Queer Queens of Comedy this Saturday night, 7 p.m., out in santacruz.com.
Been a pleasure doing the show with and for you. If you'd like to be a guest on the show, contact Rob or I and we will figure it out. And make sure to like the Facebook fan page. You can just link that on the show right here, and it links you right to Facebook. Like it, like it, like it, and like it a lot. And tell your friends to like it, too, because we love doing this show with and for you. We will see you soon. And with that, everybody, have a great rest of your day. Don't drive distracted.
You've been listening to
Rated G Radio.
LGBT Radio.
There we go.